Folks, it's great to have Dr. Elliott with us once again. So amazing to have you join us every week. A lot of information to set before us once again. We're just going through it, and man, a lot of it is just crazy, especially in the world that we live in now. I wanted to start out with just something we were chuckling about earlier, is the voting system and how that worked out for Nikki Haley. Didn't work out too well for her, did it?
Okay, so I saw that and I kind of had to laugh and sort of cry a little bit, because I would hate to be Nikki Haley when you got beat by the box that says anybody but Nikki Haley. It's like, what? I mean, it's not even a real person. It's just anybody but you. It's like, man, you got to have thick skin to be in politics nowadays. But it is what it is, right? So that just shows us how popular Trump is amongst the people. Because the people that would check the box for anybody that but Nikki Haley or what, they're Trump supporters. I mean, let's face it. So I just thought that was very telling. But the other thing that really sort of gave me the creeps was Biden.
Yeah.
I mean, what did Biden get, LT? It was like 94%, 96%.
Oh, in Nevada?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty high.
I think it was like 96%. Nobody gets 96%. Ronald Reagan didn't even get 96%, let alone the president who actually has one of the lowest approval ratings of all people of all time.
Yeah.
Right. Like, how in the world could that be? So, you know, what I started thinking about when I saw that, it's like, great, they haven't fixed any voting stuff, you know, this whole 4 years. It's like, for somebody that's not even popular to get 96% of their vote is preposterous.
Yeah.
I mean, really, do people think that that's actually real? No, I don't.
Yeah.
And I don't even know who else was on the Democrat ticket. I really don't. But what I do know is I wouldn't care who it was. Nobody gets 96%.
That's right. That's right. Kind of another interesting thing that I think is playing out. All I've been noticing on the news is the talk about the Supreme Court and their meeting to discuss Trump and can he have immunity, I believe, is what it's going through and all this. And they're just excited about it. My wife was even asking, why are you excited? Because it's going to be perfect. They're going to set this whole thing up. It's going to open up the box and say, great, now that you guys want to go after me, now we can turn the tides and find me innocent. And I can go after all of you who have destroyed our country. And it'll finally wake up a lot of folks who worship these previous presidents who were nothing but trouble.
Nothing but trouble. I mean, it's payback. I mean, this is why politics throughout the centuries has been so, I don't know, just kind of mellow, right? Because politicians know that they don't stay in power forever.
Yeah.
At some point, the tide's going to turn, the other party's going to be in power, and they know that if they go just absolute haywire on the person that's in, when the tables turn, it's going to be haywire back on them, right? So you've always had this just kind of meet in the middle, don't really do much of anything kind of politics, which is, you know, people complain about. But now it's like endgame, right?
Yeah.
It's like endgame, and there is no middle ground. It's all bipolar, just this polarizing of everything. Everybody hates like everybody based on politics, based on their religion, based on their gender, based on their skin color. It doesn't matter, right? Everybody is hating everybody right now. And this is the polarized world that we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the federal government seems to hate Texas. You don't even have to be a person to hate somebody else. You could be a state, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, everything is just, I mean, it's like bizarro world, LT. Mm-hmm. But this to me, when it doesn't make sense logically, there's some stuff in the Bible to me that doesn't make sense, like eternity, something that has never had a beginning or something that doesn't have an end. I mean, my mind can't comprehend that, right? So that's a spiritual thing, though. To me, what we're seeing is the manifestation of a spiritual battle that's waging in this country and around the globe, right? We're just, all this hate, we're just seeing the physical manifestation of a spiritual battle that's being waged in the heavenlies. It's the battle of good versus evil, of right versus wrong, of God's way versus everything else, right? Because this is where that narrow road that's talked about, it's like, there is one way to God. It's through Jesus, right? And then everything else is everything else,
yeah.
Right? So when you start looking at things through spiritual lenses, it's kind of easy to see what's going on. Yeah. This is just simply a spiritual battle, and we're seeing itself manifest itself in the physical world.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite videos recently I saw, I'll have to send it to you guys, and I shared it with on my video, was the fact that in Isaiah 45, you had King Cyrus come in against a system that was destroying all the people. And then Isaiah 46, there was emptiness and craziness and distraught, and people didn't understand what was going on. And basically a brain dead leader, sounds familiar, right? Number 46. So we had 45 come in, destroy the system, scare all of these politicians, the ones that are the liars, to death, because a real guy actually comes in and destroys them. 46, you got confusion. Well, that's where we're at now with 46. And then 47, Isaiah 47 shows when King Cyrus comes in and restores everything for everyone. And it's a beautiful thing to see. And we're, and it was Trey Smith that shared that on his channel, and got it in a nutshell. It's just absolutely amazing. And so I love seeing stuff like that on the biblical side, and also that it correlates with all of the money and the issues that were going on back then too, where he comes in to try to fix the system that was being used against the people.
Yeah.
And so that's the stuff that you're doing also. And you've got some amazing disclosures today. Very hard for me to understand. I don't know what Basel 3 is, but you were going to talk about why that's important, that Kevin O'Leary also was on this headline.
Yeah. So what is Basel 3? So Basel 3 is like an international accord. You know, you go back, decades, and you had Basel 1, Basel 2, Basel 3, and it's like the international banking standards that every bank in the world follow, right? So it's like the roadmap of, if you're going to be a bank, you have to follow these rules. It doesn't matter what country you're in. It's like the United Nations of banking, so to speak, right? So this Basel committee got together, and after COVID, you know, during COVID, the Fed changed reserve requirements of banks down to zero, right? So right. It's like, what, zero? What does that even mean? It's like, that means when you deposit $100 into the bank, normally on fractional reserve banking, if the reserve requirement is 10%, which has been the norm, you would have $10 left, and the bank would use 90 of it to invest into something else and grow. This is how the bankers got so rich, is by using other people's money. So what they're hoping on in that is that not everybody's coming out asking for their withdrawals at the same time, because they only have 10% on hand, right? So, but during COVID, to stimulate the economy, they changed it to 0%. So for every $100 you would deposit, they could lend out $100, right? Mm-hmm. Zero on hand. Well, what is that used for? So that's used to stimulate the economy, right? When people need money and the banks are there to be the lender of last resort, well, then they just lend, right? And so they can grow the economy, put the money out there so people can spend it. And so that's what they did. But that created a problem. That created the problem of, under Bidenomics and under COVID, when mom and pop businesses were shut down, nobody was spending any money. People had to start pulling out of their bank accounts just to survive, because there wasn't any revenue coming in through sales of anything or anything like that. Well, then this is how banks start to fail. This is how Silicon Valley Bank failed, and Signature Bank, and Silvergate, and Credit Suisse, and First Republic. I mean, this is how they all went under and went into FDIC receivership. So here comes Basel III. And they say, we've got to fix this. We have to fix this problem. We can't afford another bank run, right? We can't. It would devastate society. So what did they do? Basel III changed the reserve requirement from 0% to 20%. I mean, they just skipped over the 10% reserve requirement that it was prior to COVID, and they bump it all the way up to 20. In their wisdom, they're thinking, all right, we got to have a lot of money on hand, because in a bad economy where investments are bad, you know, commercial real estate's hitting the skids, all this bad stuff is happening. We want to make sure that banks have enough capital on hand if a lot of people start making withdrawals. In theory, that makes sense, right? But in reality, the opposite is true. So let's just say you're a billion-dollar bank, okay? And we go from 0 to 20% reserve requirement. You didn't have to have anything held back in reserves. Now you have to have 200 million. If you're a billion-dollar bank, 20% of is 200 million. Where are you going to come up with that? Oh, banks are already undercapitalized. So what that's going to mean is these banks are going to start, acquiring, saving, not lending out, right? So they're not going to lend out because they have to get to that requirement. Well, if they don't make the requirement, A, they're not going to be a bank because they're not going to adhere to the international standards. They'll be shut down. So you're seeing consolidation happening in the industry. Like big banks like JP Morgan are buying up medium banks, and medium banks are buying up small banks. There's a lot of consolidation happening. And I think that the banking system is run by morons right now. I mean, we're not a small company with what we do, and we wanted to spread out our risk from just one bank. I like our bank. Our bank, I believe, is very safe. But it's still foolish if you're well above the FDIC limit to have all that money in one bank, right? So just earlier this week on, I think it was Thursday, I go to the bank and they said, well, we can't actually help you right now. It's like, what? It's like, why not? Well, we have to have three people in the lobby at all times. And the only person that's here that can help you is on the phone and will be on the phone till 5 o'clock. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, you're telling me the only person that can help me is on a 3-hour phone call. And you have to have three people standing here doing nothing rather than opening up a bank account. Wow. I'm trying to put money into your bank. Do you understand this? They said, yeah, sorry, we can't help you. It's like, okay, you don't deserve my business. I mean, it's just mind numbing. Yeah. So I think the banking system is just being run by literally like stupid liberals. It makes zero sense. Yeah. It's like, are you in business to make money as a bank? Then why don't you make it easy to deposit funds? I mean, seriously, they don't. And but I'm on the receiving end of bank wires every single day. Like millions of dollars of bank wires every single day. More often than not, LT, the banks are withholding the wires. And they're saying they're finding reasons why they can't wire the client's funds out. And if I were the client, I'd say, look, it's not your money, it's mine. Just send the wire. I gave you the instructions. Well, boy, we should check this for fraud. We should check this for money laundering. How long have you known this Dr. Elliott guy? It's like, we've never heard of him. It's like, of course you don't, because you're watching CNN or something, right? It's like, but they make it hard to get money in. They make it hard to get money out. A bank is supposed to be there to facilitate money exchange, right? They're not doing that well. So here comes Basel III again. And so they changed the reserve requirement to 20%. It's going to be even harder for banks to actually lend out money because they don't have it. They need to keep the money that they have to try to hit that requirement so they don't get shut down by regulators. So here comes Kevin O'Leary, goes to Congress, right? And he's a witness in all of this. And they're testifying how this is going to hurt small business, right? So I pulled up this article of the testimony before the House, and the testimony is shockingly good, right? In this report from the House is saying, well, why is the banking standards that we're seeing right now so detrimental to small business?
Right.
So there's one on that I gave you just before the show that actually talks about the U.S. Congress. Do you see that one, LT? Yep, that one. So this is the memorandum. This is actually the testimony of the hearing and all the source references and who was there. Well, a bunch of big business leaders, right, and finance type people. Well, they're telling Congress, it's like, look, these banking laws are going to destroy America. They're going to destroy small business because this Basel III thing that you're requiring all these higher limits, you know, that you have to maintain, that means you're not going to lend money out to people when they need it because you have to comply with these higher standards. So what these international Basel Accord and everything else meant for good because they're ignorant about economics is going to be really bad. because banks are now going to withhold any kind of lending when people need it the most. That means companies are going to go out of business because they don't have like a line of credit or anything like that. And it's going to actually make things worse. So this testimony was made before Congress. And you know what? They didn't do anything about it.
Of course.
You know, because Congress, I think, stopped listening to people a long time ago when, you know, it's hard. How did the founding fathers envision politics in America? That it was government, you know, for the people and by the people, right? Well, it's not that anymore. The government says people are for us, right? It's like that's what they think. I mean, it's all this power and control and this greed and this manipulation to get their way. I mean, it's so much for servant leadership in politics, right? It's not there. So they didn't listen. So therefore, I think what we're going down this fateful path of, they are going to change banking regulations. And just in the last week, we're seeing this massive run on the stock prices of regional banks. So who's basically hitting the skids? I'm right. So I've got this list. Western Alliance Bank Corp, getting a direct quote from Zero Hedge, being clubbed like a baby seal. Shares of Zions Bank Corp, Comerica, Webster Financial, Citizens Financial, Regions Bank, South State, Prosperity. Here's PacWest, which was in the first bank failure list, you know, back in with Silicon Valley. But there's a not a regional bank that's on this list. It's huge. Schwab.
Right.
Their shares are being crushed, right? Because what are they afraid of? They're afraid that when Jerome Powell didn't lower interest rates like they promised, you know, the Fed's been promising to lower interest rates in 2024 for like the last 6 months. They keep pausing that. Pause. They're not lowering them. Why? Because they haven't won the war again on inflation.
Right.
I mean, they can't. If they lower interest rates right now and they haven't won the war on inflation absolutely goes through the roof. Because raising of rates or keeping them at these high levels and pausing them does what? That actually tells us that they don't think they've won the war on inflation. And there's going to be rate increases coming down the road. So why wouldn't we lower them? I mean, they can't lower them now, right? So these banks are hitting the skids. Now, New York Commerce Bank, NYCB, New York Community Bank, what happened to their share price last week? They're down 70%. In the month of January, 70%. What else is happening to them? It comes out last week that only 40% of all their deposits are FDIC insured, I mean 60% or not. This is the bank that bought out Signature Bank. Back when Silicon Valley went under, you know, in spring of last year, Bank was one of those other banks. Well, this bank bought them out. Now, it's hard to fathom the idiocy of some of these moves. When a bank buys out a bank that's so toxic that they can't stay in business, what do they think that's going to do to their balance sheet? Well, it's not going to help it.
Right.
So now this bank is in trouble, right? And they're probably going to go under. What's another bank that's actually in trouble? Pretty much all of the banks in China, like literally all of them. So 2,100 of rural banks in China have now been merged into the Chinese central bank system, right? They're gone. That's over $6.7 trillion worth of assets, all brought back into communist China banking system. Well, it's why? It's because their economy is an absolute free fall. Evergrande, remember LT last year when we were talking about Evergrande way at the beginning of the year, like when you and I first started, doing shows together, which was, I don't know, 15, 16 months ago. I can't even remember, but it's been a long time.
Right.
Evergrande was in the news right before that. Largest real estate holding company in the largest country in the world, China.
Right.
Well, they couldn't pay off even their interest payments. So it's like, this is going to have a domino effect, a ripple effect throughout the world. Well, they hid it for a while. Right, through the money stimulus, right? They just kept printing money and printing yuan, and they relied on foreign investment coming in, like from BlackRock and other places that hold a ton of Evergrande debt.
Right.
Well, sadly, Evergrande went to bankruptcy court in Hong Kong last week, and what did they say? actually your bonds are, we're going to revalue them at 1% of what they used to be. So the bondholders of Evergrande debt lost 99% of the value of their portfolio like that overnight, right? So here's the ripple effect. Most of these companies that invested into Evergrande debt, which this is $300 billion worth of debt that's being wiped out, are not Chinese companies. They're US or European companies.
Oh, so wow.
Banks are going to get hit hard. And Chinese, you know, through the Chinese court, bankruptcy court says, you know what, our Chinese citizens, we're going to pay them off first. And foreign investors, too bad. So sad. Wish right. You were communist like us. Right. So our banking system here in America is going to get hit really hard. This will have a ripple effect through the economy. And it's going to make bankers scared everywhere to invest into commercial real estate because it's tanking. Right. It's not just here in America, but globally. So Evergrande, I think, is a foreshadowing of things to come. But to me, it's more than that. It's a warning to every investor. And I say that, you know, not lightly. I say that to say anything that's not real might not be real, right? So the only thing that's real are tangible assets like gold, like silver that you can take delivery of. You can hold it in your hand. All this other stuff is a paper proxy for something. Right. But it can go away overnight because it's not real. Gold and silver are, which they're, this is why central banks around the world are amassing gold by the thousands and hundreds of tons. You know, don't listen to what they say, how they can stimulate the economy by printing money, slow it down by decreasing the money supply, raising interest rates, raising taxes, whatever, right? They have those fake mechanisms to actually stimulate or grow, slow the economy. And we're supposed to believe that they'll be wise stewards with those tools. They're not. You know, they've created boom and bust cycles through the since the beginning of time. And, you know, but to me, a tangible asset like gold and silver is real.
Right.
This is why kings and kingdoms throughout history have fought over it. It's why central banks now are allocating it by the thousands of tons. Right. So here's where our warning to everybody. Don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. That will tell you the true story of what they show, what they think has value. And they're gobbling up gold by the thousands of tons. And we should start doing the same with gold and silver, tangible assets, right? So we might not buy it by the ton or even by the, I don't know, half a ton or quarter of a ton, but we can buy it by the ounce.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we can do the same thing that they're doing at whatever level we can do it at, and you start to basically beat them at their own game. Because right. Not only have you invested into something that's growing, you've invested into something that can regain your financial freedom and privacy by not having a digital asset, by not having a paper asset that can evaporate overnight. It's real, LT, and that's why I keep shouting it from the rooftops every single week.
Yep. And then part of that is just to remember, folks that are listening in, especially the first time, you can go below this video, click it on andweknow.com/gold. That'll take you to Dr. Elliott and his team, and they'll get back to you within 24 to 72 hours to take care of you, your answer your questions that deal with especially transferring your IRA into gold and silver. It's absolutely amazing what you guys have done. I've done it for my own family. And we really appreciate that, especially now with all of the craziness going on. And you're mentioning more banks. It seems like it's playing into the same story that we heard last year when we were heading into March, I believe, when the banks started failing.
I mean, that was big. And to me, there's a reason for everything. History repeats itself. They never fixed the banking system. And you know what? At that time, that was the busiest that my company has ever been. I've been doing this since, you know, early 2000s, right? It's been a long time because people are afraid that their bank accounts, which should be the safest asset in the world, right? Their bank account, when they realize that it's not, when they realize if people would know that after 2009 and they changed the bankruptcy laws for financial institutions, that your deposits in the bank are not yours, you give up ownership. You literally give up ownership of your deposit accounts, your checking, your savings accounts to the bank, and you become what's called a beneficial owner, right? We expose this. Well, we didn't expose it. We reported on it, But the guy who wrote the book, The Great Taking, explained this really, really well. I mean, super well, the best I've ever heard the explanation, where your money becomes a security instrument. You give it to the bank in hopes that you can make a little bit of interest on it. It becomes a security, but they did it, changed ownership on it so they can use it as collateral. So if they have a derivatives crisis, like what they had with Lehman Brothers or whatever else, right? That now they can use your assets as collateral to pay that off, and they'll pay you back whenever they want to, if they can. It's like, wait a second, that's my money. It's like, no, it's not. Read the fine print in your checking account and savings account. It's, you actually give it to us to use, and we're just hoping and praying that not everybody wants their money out at the same time. That's how banking in this world works, and that's why it's not the safe haven and not even investment, safe haven holding place that people think that it is. That's why we have to go into tangible assets, get out of paper.
Yeah, I love your support, especially just the reminder for us. And many people are jumping on board. Others are still holding back. And we just hope you guys would just reach out. And we know.com/gold. It won't hurt you. It definitely help you out with your life, especially hearing about these banks and what's happening to them. Not to scare everyone, but to just to make sure that you understand it's biblical, gold and silver. And we so appreciate you, Dr. Elliott. Thank you so much for coming once again and explaining all of this for us, helping us out. And we're definitely looking forward to our next report.
It's my pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.